Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Very good. Ken Allen. Wonderful to be back with you on the air with all of our listeners.
Yeah, after a week off, we hope everybody had a nice holiday last week. Hopefully you're keeping cool in the this hot weather. And we just want to praise and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial help that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. Missed being here last week, but we're back in the saddle and ready to go. I think we got a good show for you here in the 4 o'clock hour, and I got two guests coming in the 5 o'clock hour, a deacon, Rich Easton from Louisiana, to talk about his book, Spiritual Lightning, and Nan Freeman, who's been on before, to talk about an upcoming Rachel's Vineyard retreat. So you'll want to stay tuned for the 5 o'clock hour as well. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. If you want to get an email each Thursday with the highlights from our shows on Wednesday, along with links to the recordings, you can subscribe to my Substack account at my notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. I post some articles regarding the radio shows, as well as some other musings I have from time to time. You'll hear about one of them in the Is That Odd or Is That God segment after we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. We have our annual golf outing is coming up on Monday, October the 14th at Talamore Country Club in Ambler. I just updated the website within the hour with a flyer with all the information on how to register to play golf, how to come for dinner if you just want to come for dinner, and more importantly, how to sponsor the event. There's various opportunities that we need sponsors for. So if you go to inhissign.com and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there where you can download a PDF version of that flyer. Regular contributors here at In His Sign should have gotten their invitation in the mail in the last few days, so be sure to keep an eye out for that as well. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is opened on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. If you're going to come down and pay a visit, be sure to get in touch with Father or I through the Our House Ministries website, and we can meet you over in church. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, which will take place in 2025. I hear from our friend Michael Murphy over in Drogheda, north of Dublin, that they just about have a pilgrimage put together that you can join from the United States. We'll probably start in Knock in Western Ireland and make its way east to Dublin, and where we'll spend the weekend in Dublin celebrating the centenary of Matt Talbot's death. We're also trying to raise funds to put together a film on the life of Matt Talbot. If you're interested in that, you can visit our website, matttalbotfilm.com. That's matttalbotfilm.com. Bill Rose with Joyful Films, who's done a lot of work with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is heading up that project. And we need to raise quite a bit of money if we want to do a full feature film on the life of Matt Talbot. And we do have a couple of retreat opportunities coming up. My annual men's weekend will be August 16th to the 18th out at Malvern. Father Bryce Lundgren, the cowboy priest, will be coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, to direct that retreat. He was a guest last year when his book came out called The Catholic Cowboy Way. And then there's a women's retreat, actually the Matt Talbot women's retreat, the weekend of September 13th to the 15th out at Malvern. And you can register for either the men's weekend or the women's weekend by going to malvernretreat.com. or call in the retreat house at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. So let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, which this film that we want to do may go a long way in helping to promote his cause. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximin Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Marie Goretti.
Pray for us.
And all the patron saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can dial 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, and it would help if you called in and shared how God may have touched you in the past couple of weeks. Also, we don't mention it a whole lot, but just a reminder that all the shows now, Monday through Friday, are being broadcast over Facebook. We do have a Facebook presence at In His Sign Catholic Radio. If you go out there, you'll be able to see yours truly. One of these days, we'll get Father McKay into the studio, and he can get all dialed up and be seen as well. Still waiting on Kathleen to hire the hair and makeup folks for us, but until then, this is what you get. All right, we are in the 14th week in Ordinary Time. And I got a couple of saints in the calendar this week. On Tuesday the 9th, in most of your missals, you would have seen St. Augustine Zalrang, who was a priest, and his companions, and they were martyrs. One of the saints that was canonized at the same time as Augustine Zalrang, but not mentioned specifically, is St. Mark G. Tang Sing. And we'll be talking about St. Mark G., who we mention every week. Today. On Thursday the 11th, tomorrow, St. Benedict Abbot, and on Saturday the 13th, St. Henry. Shout out to my good friend Jimmy Trainer and his son Hank. We'll celebrate Hank or Henry's feast day on Saturday the 13th. All right, we're going to kick this off with St. Mark G. Tang Sing. As I mentioned, we usually mention him at the outset of each show in prayer, asking him to pray for us. And the reason we do that is not a real well-known in most circles, but certainly well-known in our house ministries, is St. Mark G. Tang Sing. He was a Chinese gentleman and was Catholic and was also a doctor, born in 1834 in China. And at some point, he would contract a stomach ailment and decided to medicate himself with opium. And the use of opium in China at the time was kind of scandalous. And he would go to confession on a regular basis and confess his use of opium. And after a while, going to the same confessor, the confessor stopped giving him absolution because it would seem to him that If you're coming back and confessing the same sin each time, that you're really not making an effort to stop doing it. And, of course, we have more knowledge today about addiction than we did in the 19th century as far as the idea of it being a disease and the physical obsession to drugs and how difficult it is to actually get off them. And so because he refused absolution, he would stop going to communion, but he would not stop going to Mass. For over 30 years, he would continue to go to Mass on a regular basis. And knowing that and thinking that his only way to heaven would be through martyrdom, and he would pray for that. And eventually his prayer would become a reality. During the Boxer Rebellion in 1900, St. Mark Ting Sing and his family, along with a bunch of others, were rounded up just for the simple fact that they were Catholic, and he refused to give up his faith and encouraged his family members to not give up their faith either. And as a result, they would all be beheaded. And but the key here was that Mark G, you know, asked that he could be the last of his family so that he could be with each of his family members and encourage them as they were killed by the Chinese government. So as a result, quite a few people now will pray through the intercession of St. Mark G, either through them, either for themselves or for others, in order to beat the drug addiction. So, although not necessarily celebrated by name on July 19th each year, he's definitely included in the in those Chinese martyrs, 120 of which were canonized by John Paul II in the year 2000. Father?
Yeah, very good, Ken. This saint gives so much hope. You know, I'm thinking about mothers out there that perhaps are listening, or grandmothers, and brothers and sisters who have, you know, loved ones on drug addiction, and they just can't seem to get off, and causing all kinds of problems in the family and difficulties. And yet here's a man, Mark G, not a recovering addict, but a drug addict all of his life, even up to the day he died. And because he was a martyr, he's a canonized saint in the church. But just some of the, you know, like you said, when he was going to be martyred, it's like he's singing songs, you know, he's singing hymns, the litany to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he's watching his family members, his son and six grandchildren, two daughter-in-laws, and he's pleading with the executioner, let him go last. He wants to be last. He wants to be present to each one, and kind of give them confidence to hold on and to die in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. And he went to each one and watched each of his family members beheaded, and then he himself would be beheaded. But there it is. It's that strength and grace. And he always had that sense of God's mercy all through his life, even though he couldn't kick that disease. That, you know, and it is a disease. It's really it's a terrible disease. It's a sickness. And a lot of people, even today, don't understand that. It's like, you know, get out of your drug addiction. It's like, get out of your cancer. Get out of your heart disease. Well, I wish I could. Some people say that the drugs are even more powerful than someone in the desert who needs water, and you do anything for the water, and anything for the water. And that drugs is even stronger than that. You would do anything for the drugs. You get deathly sick, and you need to have that drug. But what an inspiration to everyone. Last night, Ken, we offer that Mass for addicts, for those who are still out there. We didn't offer it for us in recovery, but we took that particular Mass intention and offered it for those who are sleeping on the bridges, in cars, alienated from their families, with their parents' hearts broken, brothers and sisters' hearts broken. They don't know what to do, and we offer the Mass for them. And I just... That grace, you know, that I was saying today, it's like a ray of grace, it's a flash of grace. It's just a moment of truth because of the prayers of the mothers and fathers, and because of the prayers of brothers and sisters. Our prayers last night when we offer them, somehow, some way, the Lord sees that, and he gives that grace, at least a moment of truth, to get out. And how many people do get up, and they do go away, into a program, into a recovering house, and they fight that battle. Sometimes they might fall back again and again. Like Mark G., he couldn't get off it because of the sickness, but yet they keep trying by the grace of God. And so many moral miracles that we know, Ken, through Mark G.'s intercession and Maximine Colby and Matt Talbot and all of them, all of our friends that pray for us. But grace is so powerful, and that we need to receive the grace, even the grace to cope with a loved one who's out there on the streets and causing all kinds of problems and difficulties. You know, to have that peace in heart and mind and pray for our loved ones, as difficult as it is seeing them just deteriorating themselves and dying from this particular sickness and disease. And St. Monica's the other, you know, the other our go-to. And a lot of mothers who and fathers, they pray to St. Monica for their sons who are addicted, don't even really realize that Monica was addicted to alcohol. They know that she had a son, Wayward, like Augustine, but a lot of people just didn't know that Monica had the problem with alcohol. And I like to repeat that, Ken. You know, when she was young, there was three daughters from the wealthy family, and they had a maiden and a servant. And her job was to go down to the wine cellar and get the wine for the family dinner. And she would go down and begin to sip the wine and then take cupfuls, one after another, and really get kind of really high. And it was the maidservant came in, and she looked at Monica and said, "You're a wine bibber." And then she has her moment of truth. She has that moment of truth, that ray of grace, that grace that permeates right into the heart. And Augustine, her son, would say in his confessions years later, and this is 1,600 years ago, that St. Augustine says, "My mother had a disease, alcoholism, and there was no remedy for it except the medicine of God and the remedy of God." And that remedy, as we know with Matt Talbot and all the saints and Camillus Dolores, John of God, all those who beat severe addictions, that medicine and remedy was in the sacraments, going to confession, going to Mass, receiving Holy Communion, praying their rosaries, praying, denying themselves, fasting, giving alms, and doing everything that the gospel does, what the saints do. And you look at that, Ken, you know, that deep wound of addiction, yeah, that's the thorn in the flesh, and that's what made them holy. Would we know about Matt Talbot and his holiness? Would he be an urban mystic if he didn't have a problem with alcohol? I don't think so. You know, it was in that they throw their hands up, and they know the only hope is the grace of God. And we can all become mystics, as I always say that line over and over again. Matt Talbot, you know, becomes holy and mystic in the urban beats addiction, says, "If I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God." But there's just so much there with Mark G.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you just think that what he went through for 30 years, just beating himself up that he could not get off that opium. He couldn't get off it. Yet he was living in the grace of his baptism, even though he couldn't really receive the sacraments, which he didn't. And he obeyed his confessor. He didn't go to confession anymore. He didn't go to communion, but he kept going to church. And it's that spiritual communion. He loved Jesus. He kept praying to Jesus. You know, that holy name must have been so much on his heart, because when we say Jesus, it's a spiritual communion with him. There is a grace that keeps him. It just seems like Mark G's whole life was to go through that to that point, to give mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers that hope that, you know, we're not our sickness, we're not our disease, we're not our drug addiction. We're all a child of God, and there's the graces that we're so loved. So very much loved, and God's mercy is always there. And all of our sins, addictions, shortcomings, imperfections, it's all a drop in the ocean of his merciful love for each and every one of us, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, a lot to be learned. And that's right, we got a caller. I lost my train of thought, but we do have a caller. We're going to go to Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken. Hello, Father. How are you?
Hello, Michael.
All right. I was on hold, so I really didn't. I was listening to Mark G. and the opium, but I don't know where you went with it. But anyway, so if I screw anything up, don't hold it against me. Anyway, I was talking to my sister about addiction and alcoholism today, and how people are affected by it, and how it affects so many other people, families, and and how selfish it is when you know there's a better way and you go back and pick up and use anyway. And our declaration is when the hand of AA reaches out for help, I'll be there for them. But they got to reach out for help. And, you know, it's like my head was running with so many things, Father, about addiction and alcohol and like, what do you do for the alcoholic and drug addict? And we have to hit bottom, you know. And there's a fine line between compassion and enabling. And I can't enable addiction and alcoholism. It's hard. It's hard. And I agree with everybody. It's so hard. But, like, what do you do? How much can you take? How much do you let it affect your family and everybody around you before you put, like, there's got to be consequences. There's consequences for everybody in life. Even when you're sober, there's consequences when you do something. That's why we have confession, and that's why you go and you become better, you know, let God's will, not mine, be done. And, like you become a better person more and more. But there's consequences for it, you know, for sin. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking of people that I love that are using right now. And no, they don't love us. They don't love me. They don't know how to love right now. All they love is the alcohol and drugs. And they have no God in my life. I've been there. I had no God in my life. My God was alcohol and drugs. And I didn't even know it until I came and got sober. I found out it was through the grace of God that I got sober. But I had to get sober first. And I recognized that God is my life and made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood him. And more will be revealed. The transformation happened. Bang, 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 bang. God has revealed himself to me every day through people or angels. He puts people in my life for different reasons. It's unbelievable. I get so filled up because it's so true. And, like, people don't have God in their lives. They don't have God in their life. When you have God in your life, he will reveal himself to you, and you can depend on him. You know, amen. It's so, and we're worthy of it. You know, I remember I didn't think I was worthy of it, you know. And it's not true. We're all born in the image and likeness of God. We're God's children. And you know, it's so powerful, this addiction and alcoholism. It is so powerful. But when you have God in your life, it's not. Until you stop using and drinking and using, you're going to use. And there's going to be consequences that pay. But other people are paying the consequences, too. And I have to tell myself that. Like, I tell the person that I'm talking about, I went to them, and I told them everything. And I told them, this ain't for you. This is for me. Because when you die, I know. My conscience is clear. I tried what I could do with you. I can't get you sober. Only God can get you sober.
It's hard, Michael, isn't it?
It's all about... Excuse me. Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I was going to say it's hard. I mean, you're watching them kill themselves and affecting the people around them. But, you know, we've been there, brother. We've done the same thing to ourselves and others, and it's only through the grace of God that we're able to do half the things that we do today. So,
amen.
You know? So, amen. I miss seeing you, brother. You down the shore?
I am. I'm down the shore. Thank God. Only through the grace of God. There's another breath. Mind. Yeah. Being on this radio with Ken and Father Doug is a blessing. Believe me when I tell you.
Amen. Father?
Amen is right.
Yeah. No, I was listening to you, Michael, and you're right, parents and all. Just like any other sickness and disease, you have to protect yourself. If somebody has a contagious disease, you go in the hospital, you got to put a mask on, you got to put a gown on, you got to put gloves on to protect yourself. And yes, we have to protect ourselves against the active addict. It can be very violent and hurtful. And yet, the thing is, and I really believe this, I wouldn't be a priest doing this work if I didn't believe it was a sickness, and in some cases for many, a terminal sickness. A lot of them will never get it. And, you know, you always hear that, you know, jump out of your addiction. You know, you're responsible. No one else is. And it's a paralysis in them. You know, I keep thinking about, you know, where the four men who carried the paralytic to Jesus. The man's paralyzed, but he looks up at the four men with the faith, and he heals the paralytic on the faith of the four men. Like, you weren't hearing the second part there. We offered our mass yesterday for the addicts, those who are on the bridges and in cars and sleeping and, you know, alienated from their families, suffering along themselves, the worst disease, the sickest of the sick, the poorest of the poorest, and the neediest of the neediest. And Jesus lives in them, and he suffers in them. And they're paralyzed. Amen. Like you said, all they want is that drug. They're centered on that drug. That's their God. But through our prayers and our sacrifices, that somehow, some way, the Lord can zip in there with a powerful moment of truth, just like you had it, Michael, and I had it, and Ken had it. And you get that moment of truth through your mother's prayers, your father's prayers, the prayers of the church. And all of a sudden, you respond to that grace, and you get up. But not everyone does. A lot of people, they get up and they fall down. They get up and they fall down. But they try, and I see them. I hear their confessions. I hear their crying. I hear their sobbing. I see all that. And the consequences are terrible. The consequences for the mom and dad, you know, and they get the worst consequences. They're the ones out there suffering even more so than anybody else. But, amen, you know, that whole thing, I know what you're saying, and it is a disease and a terminal disease, and it's just that, you know, we're the body of Christ. If one person hurts, we all suffer. When one person does well, we applaud. We have parties. If your kid's graduating from college, you know, we're having a big party. You know, if your kid is in a rehab and just overdosed and died on a ventilator, your heart's broken. We all suffer that because we're all so united as God's eternal children. We are not our sicknesses, our diseases, our shortcomings. We are not our addictions. Each and every one of us, eternal children of God. And I was thinking when Jesus Christ hung from the cross, and he looked down at the very ones who beat him to a pulp, who stripped him, lacerated him like a fish, who spat upon him, slapped him around. He says, Father, forgive them. And then he makes an excuse. They don't know what they were doing. What was he forgiving? Not the evil, not their sins. He condemned the sin and the evil. But he loved them because they were in his image and likeness. And that's the work here at Our House Ministries. And a lot of people had come off of drugs that lived in our houses and came and got up. And they had many years of sobriety. And they're out there doing those 12 steps works and helping others to come. And how many come in, they do well for so long, and they fall down and wind up dying. And my heart breaks along with the parents and everyone else. But our Lord has the last word. He always does because of who we are, eternal children of our Father. But I love your passion, Michael.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff.
So much.
Michael, always good to hear from you, brother. Hope
I'll be listening.
See you one of these Tuesdays.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
Thanks a lot.
All right, be good.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye. All right. Got just about a minute before we go to the break, and I want to give out the phone numbers again. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. I got a minute. Father, final word on St. Mark?
Let me think for a minute there, Ken. St. Mark, it's just, he never gave up. You know, he always had the graces. And, you know, he gives so much confidence to those guys out there who keep falling down, trying to get up again and again and again, that God's mercy is always there. And a lot of times, Ken, you know, you used to call the opium way up and down 29th Street, everybody up and down getting their fix, and they're on a mission, you know. I say, how you doing, Joe? They don't even see you. They're on their mission. They got their drugs, and they're going there. But you know what they do, Ken? They bless themselves when they pass the church. Mm. They have that mustard seed of faith. It's just like St. Mark G. He always had that faith. He never let go of that faith, even though he wasn't a recovering addict. He was an addict to the day he died, and that gives him so much hope. So anybody listening out there who may be struggling with addictions, don't give up. The Lord loves you so much, and the graces are always there. Moral miracles, they happen by the grace of God. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to take a short break. Frank, if we see you out there, we'll get to you as soon as we come back from the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Before we go back to the Saints or our Otter Guide, just a quick rundown on a couple of things. I've updated our website today with the information for the golf outing. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see a link there where you can download a flyer with all the information as far as registering to play golf, coming just for dinner. And more importantly, how to sponsor the event. There's a number of opportunities there for sponsors. I also, before the show got started, got all the recordings of shows updated as of yesterday. Actually, Kathleen wasn't here yesterday, but as of Monday. So if you missed a show or you want to re-listen to a show, you can go to our website and click on content and then podcasts. And we've got years and years worth of recordings out there. So they're, like I say, they were updated as of today. We'll get today's shows up either later tonight or tomorrow morning. As for the Calyx units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware, Father McKay and I and a whole slew of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philly at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We start at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. And on the third Tuesday, we usually go to St. Gabriel's Church across the street for a Matt Talbot Holy Hour at 6, followed by Mass at 7. We have confessions during the Holy Hour. We had a meeting this morning. We'll see how the heat is next Tuesday. If it's too hot to be in church, then we may go over to our Matt Talbot Chapel. But there'll be signage one way or the other to make sure you know where to go. But we always get started at 6 o'clock. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, July the 18th. The unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside meets on the third Saturday of the month. We go to the parish mass at 8:30 a.m., followed by the Calyx meeting. The meeting this month will be on Saturday, July the 20th. The unit at The Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in July will be the latest it could be, Sunday, July 21st. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, July the 27th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday following 6:15 p.m. Mass. Or more than welcome to join. If you ever have any questions or need to get in touch with me regarding these, you can shoot me an email at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com, or get in touch with me through Maureen here. In the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by Deacon Richard Eason, and we'll discuss his book, Spiritual Lightning. And then at 5:30, Nan Freeman will be calling in to talk about Rachel's Vineyard retreats in general and the upcoming retreat in September. So without any further ado, we're going to kick off our...
I don't know. Did you mention about the Maximine Colby Village?
I did not. Yeah. So tomorrow evening, that'll be Thursday, July the 11th. And the second Thursday of each month, there's a Militia Immaculata Village that meets at the Malvern Retreat House, normally down in the Carlo Acutis Center. And it kicks off at 7 o'clock with readings and reflection from the writings of Maximilian Kolbe, followed by a rosary and then Mass offered at 8 o'clock. So, again, that's the second Thursday of each month. Will take place tomorrow night out at the Malvern Retreat House. It's still in the Carlo Acutis Center, right, Father?
It is.
Yeah.
And also, it's always for the family, too, Ken.
Yeah.
You know, even the adoration, the benediction, we're blessing not only the ones that are there, but all the family members. And the Mass intention is always for the family. And as we know, Maximine Kolbe is the patron saint of drug addicts. So, in particular, in my heart, I'm offering the Mass for those who suffer with addictions as well.
Amen. All right. We're going to kick off the Otter Guy with Frank. Hello, Frank. How you doing, brother?
Alexa, mute. Ken.
Hey.
Sorry.
No problem.
Fire Doug, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Frank?
Guess what? I got a brand new nickname for you. You ready?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me get my hand on the the mute button here.
I may get ejected, but I'm muted. Don't hit the eject button. That's all again.
All right, pal. What's up?
You ready, Fire Doug?
Yeah.
You are now officially the mayor of Southwest Philly.
Oh, how about that?
How about that? He's had a lot of titles, but never the mayor in South Philly.
We'll call Mayor Parker. Maybe get you a special parking pass where you can park where you want to for free.
Yeah. Patrick's shaking his head when it comes to that Southwest thing. So what else is going on, pal?
Nothing. Just want to say hi. That's all as usual. Like, try to call every time I remember it's Wednesday. And just remember to keep that cop's name who was shot in the neck back on June 22nd. I know Father Doug said a prayer for him on the air. Officer Roman. And as far as I know, there's no changes. Still in the ICU. He's married, has like two kids.
Wow.
And just keep me a prayer.
Will do.
Yeah. And how to catch on Luke's listening.
We were speaking about him at our breakfast, you know, wondering how he was doing. In fact, Nick was with us. Nick Campion, so he keeps us informed as well. So, we'll keep praying for Roman. What's his first name, Jamie?
Forgot. Yeah, it's a Jamie Roman. Yes, that's it.
Yeah, Jamie, we'll keep praying for him. God bless all of our officers.
Amen.
And firefighters and troops. They protect
and
us
our
from
priests
evil.
And our
May
nuns.
God protect them.
And our... All the members of AA who aren't members yet, but should be members.
There you go. There you go. Future members.
Yeah. All they're right. Still in training, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, pal. Hey, it's always good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. God bless you.
Frank. Bye now.
Thanks.
All right. The phone lines are free. The number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or 888-343-2484. yesterday was the anniversary of my probably the penultimate Otter God in my life. It's probably like the third time we've told the story, but it goes back
never
to
grows old.
Nah, but it goes back to 2013. I had known Father for a few years by then, and he always carries his baptismal certificate in his wallet or in his pocket. And I decided in the beginning of June in 2013 that I was going to go ahead and get mine. And so I called the rectory at St. Madeline Sophie. I had been baptized at Holy Cross in Mount Airy in 61. And they had merged with St. Madeline Sophie, and the records had been moved, I guess, over to St. Madeline Sophie. So I called and talked to the lovely secretary there and told her I was interested in getting a copy of my baptismal certificate. And she said that it would probably be ready within 24 hours or so and just stop by the rectory anytime after that to pick it up. So I promptly forgot about it. And it was probably 3-4 weeks later, I was leaving Glenside to drive to Grays Ferry for our Calyx meeting, and I remembered I had requested the baptismal certificate, so I swung by St. Madeline Sophie to pick it up, and I go in. A nice woman was there, gave me my my envelope, and I went out, and I sat in the car, and I opened the envelope, only to learn that I was baptized on July the 9th, 1961. What was odd or God about it was the day that I picked it up was July the 9th, 2013. And, you know, it was pretty alarming. I figured it was probably around that time, but I didn't realize that it was going to be that day when I showed up to actually pick it up. So, like Father, I carry my passport with me just about everywhere I go, although I haven't been able to find my missal. I'm hoping I left it on the kitchen table up the mountains when we were up there last week, but I have a second and third copy laying around as well.
You're St. Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be really cool if it showed up, because then it would travel 100 miles to get here. But, yeah.
Your story is so profound, Ken, and, you know, it's like God, he doesn't want us to forget our baptism. And he really, you know, just profoundly reminded you of your baptism. And I just... You know, the story I told last night, I just want to say that now, because so many times we just forget. You know, it's when we become God's eternal children. We have an ontological change. We receive faith, hope, and love, you know. And we're baptized as priest, prophet, and king. We're royal people in the kingdom of God. And I was telling that story last night. I'd like to just say it now. With Helena Troy. Helena Troy, you know, they were in the war. And Helen Troy, on her horse, got knocked off her horse, became unconscious, and had amnesia, and she was thrown into prison. But she had a friend that kept looking for Helen. He didn't believe that she was dead. And for quite some time, he couldn't find her, but he never gave up. And Helen Troy still had the amnesia. Somehow she got out of prison and started to live like a beggar. She started to live, you know, eating food, you know, out of dumpsters, and just beggar clothes. And then her friend saw her at the dumpster and said, "Hey, Helen, Helen." And she looked up and said, "Who are you calling?" "Helen, you're the Queen of Troy." And it all comes back to her. And she remembers who she is. And she goes back to Troy, puts on her crown, her queen clothes, and sits on her throne as the Queen of Troy. Remember our baptism. We are priests, prophets, and kings, royal people in the kingdom of God. Jesus died for that, and we're baptized into his life, his death, and his resurrection. We are transformed into that divinity to live forever, immortal like the angels can. But that's a profound story, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say how that happened, too, how I started to carry my baptismal certificate, because it was a funeral some years ago, and I didn't know the deceased, and I went back to the viewing before the Mass and homily, and I asked the wife, I said, "Can you tell me something about your husband in the lines of his faith?" "Well, Father, you know, he wasn't much of a Mass goer at all." I said, "Well, can you tell me anything about an act of faith that he might have?" And she said, "Well, one thing he did do was he carried his baptismal certificate with him." And I said, "That's enough. Faith is enough to get you into heaven." So that's what I used in the homily. Well, afterwards, I wanted to get my baptismal certificate, and it was Eleanor McKinney. And it was about 20 people after me lining up to get their baptismal certificates from St. Gabriel's. I think Eleanor wanted to shoot me that day because she worked long hours in writing out and looking up those baptism dates. But, you know, they're important. You know, that date is so important. Our baptism, our confirmation, all the sacraments, you know, it's the sources of grace. It's the one-on-one with God. And it's like Mark G. That's what he had. You know, he wasn't going to communion. He wasn't going to confession. But he had the grace of his baptism. And people will say about addicts, well, how can that be, Father? You know, you ever hear of mortal sin? They, you know, addicts cheat, steal, lie. They adulterate, fornicate, get away with murder. And it's like they're condemning their brothers and sisters. Exactly what Jesus said not to do. Don't condemn, you won't be condemned. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. And to commit a mortal sin, you know, it's pretty hard. First of all, serious matter. And addicts got that. And I condemn what they do. I don't condemn them. I condemn what they do. You know? But they don't have full consent of the will or sufficient reflection. They're paralyzed. Therefore, the Lord is still suffering in them. And those five mitigating factors that I talked about last night that I got from Father Meehan in moral theology, when penitents come to confession, remember, there are five factors that can alleviate guilt and shame and sin. And that's ignorance, fear, force, habit, and passion. I'll repeat them. Ignorance, fear, force, habit, and passion. And the addicts got all five of them. They're paralyzed. They need our prayers. You know, and our prayers can transform them. It's, you know, by penetrating them with grace. It's, you know, we can't underestimate the grace through our prayers because we are the mystical body of Christ. We either help one another or we hurt one another. And we got the power to pray for our brothers and sisters who are addicted by our sacrifices, our self-denials, you know, and say, Lord, don't bless me. Bless the ones I know and bless the ones who suffer so much with addiction. And free them, Lord. Bring them back to their families, back to church, back to the sacraments. And it happens. It happens. Trust in that divine providence and the grace of God in their own prayers for our brothers and sisters who suffer so much. Amen.
Amen. And I wanted to mention while we were talking about St. Mark G. Ting Sing in the first segment, anybody that is interested in getting a little pamphlet and a holy card of St. Mark G., if you send me an email at ken@inhissign.com, that's ken@inhissign.com, send me your mailing address, and I can drop the pamphlet and card in the mail to you. And you get a little bit more information about St. Mark and the intercessory prayer that's there for those that struggle with addiction. We have no other callers. The number is 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. And with that, the phone rings. You got an Otter Godfather?
I don't.
No. Okay.
Otter God. Last night was an Otter God.
Yeah.
Remember that, Ken, when we sat around?
Yeah, yeah.
After the Calyx meeting, and all we talked about was our sharing our faith. And that was powerful. I really, you know, all those guys are around, you know, just drawing off the faith. You know, we need to draw off the faith of one another. I was enriched last night because everybody's sharing their faith. So that was my Otter God right there, you know.
Yeah.
Just being there with you guys.
Yeah, so I don't know that we've mentioned it on the radio yet, but about a month ago we started on Tuesday nights after the Calyx meeting. We have a nice deck back behind the ministry. And I think last night there were seven of us, four cigar smokers and three non, but we have, instead of AAA, we're the CCC, the Calyx Cigar Club. If that entices you to come down and join us for a Calyx meeting, and then we sit around and have a cigar afterwards and talk about all things Catholic, you're more than welcome to join us.
That was holy smokes last night.
There you go. There you go. And I was smoking a nice Ave Maria cigar. It was wonderful.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to go to the phones. We did get another call, Father. We're going to go to Susie. Hello, Suze.
Oh, the chairperson last night.
Hey, sister, how are you?
Good. Oh, my gosh, Jen, I'm telling you. I'm so excited. You and Father Dog and Patrick, like, I wanted to pick up the phone and call Patrick at 6 o'clock this morning. You know, you guys are amazing. My other God was this morning because God, Father told me, Father McKay yesterday. Hi, guys. How are you? By the way, hi. Sorry. How are you?
Good.
Hiya.
Keep going.
Okay. I'm so excited. So, Father, yesterday, I had that Jesus Calling book, and yesterday he bookmarked for me to read when my conception was, like when I was, when my, you know, because when my, you know what I'm talking about, when my conception was. Anyway, so he bookmarked it, and he said, sit and read it quietly. So this morning, I open it up, and I read it, and I'm like, oh my God, is this amazing or what? I got, as he told me last night, I got the God bumps, and it literally says, the only thing you can grasp without damaging your soul is my hand. Ask my spirit within you to order your day and control your thoughts, for the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. So back in 1974, when I was conceived, right, in February, and I looked and read that, God was telling me when I was born that day, I didn't know, I'm still in my mom's womb, you know what I mean? I'm just getting in my mom's womb or whatever. And today, I trust and I have, you know, the spirit and the life and the peace of God. And it says, you will never run out of things to worry about, but you can choose to trust me no matter what. And, like, how beautiful is that? Like, it took me a long time. It took me 16 years to really, like, not just do my foxhole God prayers. And, you know, I had to go through everything I went through. And then in 2008, it was like, everybody was praying for me, and these were people who were like Evelyn, who was so close to God, you know, that I was like, oh my God. And from the day that my parents dropped me off from my intake till this day, yeah, I haven't picked up a drink, but that's because of God in all these moments. And now, enhancing my spiritual life through Calyx and you three, and like, listening to what you guys say, like, read, go back and read this certain page. Or, for example, when he was saying read 6 months, I actually was doing 4 months. Patrick had to tell me that it was 4 months, not 6 months, but that's okay. Like, you guys know what I'm talking about. But how cool is, on that day, back, God was already in my life, in my mom's room, because they went to church and everything, and it took me a long time to get there, but he was saying, by the Spirit is life and peace. Like, rely on him. And I'm reading this, like, he was with me in the womb. I just didn't know it. And all throughout my addiction, I knew it, but I never could see it. And today, I feel these God bumps, and I read that, and I'm like, oh, my God, holy crap, wow, I love it. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. Susie, I just want to say, you know, that's so powerful. I'm so glad you called in about that, because life begins at conception. We're spirit, and then we have body. And here's the thing. You're February the 5th. You know, you what was your birthday? November the 5th?
Yeah.
October, yeah, so it's 3 months.
Yeah,
you go prior 3 months to your birthday, you're actually going 9 months. So, and then that's the day I always tell people, celebrate your conception day on that day, because we don't know exactly when we were conceived. I had a spiritual experience on July 2nd, and I was born April 13th, and I celebrate my conception day on July 2nd. But I was sharing that with everybody at last week's you know, meeting with Calyx, and I was talking about that was July 2nd and was my conception day. And Chuck Kilgariff came up, and he's a scientist, right? He knows science, and he was saying when the sperm hits the egg, there's a flash of light. And that really, you know, you were just talking about the light of Christ there, you know, in your reading. And it's that light, and it brought me to the you know, the shroud of Jesus, where we have the shroud. It had to be a radiation. It had to be like a light, an X-ray, that would get that imprint of his features on that shroud. So it's like the light of Christ. When we're conceived, there's something happens there. You know, it's our spirit taking body, and our souls will animate our bodies, and it's God who's animating our souls. But we're missing these beautiful times of our conception. We don't even think about these moments when our life really begins. The church celebrates the Blessed Mother's Immaculate Conception. 9 months later, it's September 5th, we celebrate her birthday. We celebrate the dual feast of the Incarnation and the Annunciation on March 25th. 9 months later, we celebrate his birthday, Christmas. So, you know, the church is showing us, do that 9 months, you know, go back 9 months or go 3 months ahead and celebrate your conception day. If I wanted to make $1 million, I'd start making cakes and cards, you know, for every day of the year. This is your conception day. and would really emphasize that moment when God creates us for himself. I mean, it's so powerful to think about that
moment.
And there is a light. It's the light of Christ. And we put a basket, a bushel basket over that light. And let that light shine, because the light, he's the light of the world. He's in us. Let that little light of Christ shine through us. Amen. Thanks for calling. And good job last night, too, Susie.
Thank you. How beautiful is that, though? Because of the three of you, right? Like, could you imagine me calling Patrick at 6 a.m.? I figured he was praying his rosaries and doing stuff, so I didn't call him. But I was so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh. I actually went into work today, and I told the girls, I was like, wait till you hear this. I don't know why. I'm just, certain times I'm hearing things, and they're all God-conscious. They love their God, too. And they're like, Susie, because we hear it when we need to or when we're meant to. I cannot wait. I see my parents every Sunday. I can't wait to bring my book with me and have my mom read that, because I got chills this morning. Like, how lucky am I that my parents are still together and they raised me in church and raised me to have a God. And today I get to have talk to them about this God that I have. And the three of you continue to give me that light and teach me every day. So thank you.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
All right, well, take care, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, sounds good. Bye. Right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
And I didn't mean to rush Susie off, but we do have another caller, Father, so I don't think we're going to get to Maria Goretti. We're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Kenny, Frank E.H. I just wanted to touch base with you guys and thank you that you know I'm here.
Nah, good to hear your voice, brother. It was good to be with you last night. I hope you enjoyed your cigar.
I did. It just went from one better meeting to the next.
Amen.
Yeah. What a beautiful evening. I came home with a lot, and I just really want to say thank you to you and Father McKay and all your people down at the ministry. Thank you.
Nah, thank you. We can have that ministry, but it's no good if nobody shows up, so... thanks for being there and making the trip with Austin down from Bucks County. Like we were saying last night, it's not the easiest trip in the world, especially during rush hour. But
it's well worth it.
Amen. Amen. Nah, thanks for being there, brother. It was great to see you.
All right, see you guys.
Be good.
Hey, Frank. Thank you, Frank. You know, that sharing last night, listening to you, your faith is beautiful. But you talk about going the extra mile. I'm so impressed with you guys who drive down even the Schuylkill Distressway, 95, back-to-back traffic, and you make that trip down here from such a distance. You know that's the spirit within you guys. And I see that, and I feed off of that. I feed off of your faith like I did last night. And you guys are so beautiful. So thank you for your faith.
You guys, I feel the same way.
And also your sister. And we'll keep her in prayers as well,
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, it was fun driving home last night, wasn't it, brother?
It was good, yeah. No, it was a little calmer than coming down.
How'd you go home?
95.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I tried. I got on a Schuylkill, and that was a mistake. Anyway, good to see you, brother. We'll see you. Hopefully we'll see you again next week.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make it down.
All right, sounds good. Take care.
Thanks, Frank. The Schuylkill Distressway, the world's largest parking lot.
Yeah, well, it was a parking lot last night. They're doing more paving, and so I ended up having to veer off and come up Broad Street.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking last night about, the present moment, Ken.
Yeah.
Just in that traffic there. If you find God in traffic, you find him anywhere.
Yep.
But living in the present, doesn't matter where we're at, as long as we're with him in that present moment. That's where all the graces are.
Amen.
The peace, the joy, the felt love, right there.
All right, we got 30 seconds. Father, can we get a blessing?
Yeah, and I just want to bless everybody who's listening and those who have been suffering with addictions and loved ones, grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers and fathers who have so much loved ones that are suffering with addiction, and for Frank's sister and all those who are sick and suffering. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Lord, just bless us all. Bring our hearts closer to yours through the Immaculata and St. Joseph and all these beautiful saints, our brothers and sisters, and our guardian angels and all the angels. And bless us real good, Lord, with a deeper faith, hope, and love in you, knowing you're always with us until the end of the world. bless us, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
God bless, Ken.
Yep, you too, Father. We'll see you in the morning. For our listeners, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Deacon Richard Eason, and we'll be talking about his book, Spiritual Lightning, Answering Your Call from Jesus to Master His Values. Don't go away. We'll be right back.